We're reading from the Old Testament today, a rather long passage from Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2. This is part of Moses' speech to the people of Israel after they had captured Sihon and Og, king of the Amorites. In this chapter, he tells the people how they are to move forward, which land they are to take, which land they are to avoid. And finally, we read about the defeat of the kings, these two kings, Sihon and Og. Reading then, beginning at verse 24 of chapter 2. Rise up, set out on your journey, and go over the valley of the Arnon. Behold, I've given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. So I sent messengers from the wilderness to Kedemoth, to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through your land. I will go only by the road. I will turn aside neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot. As the sons of Esau who live in Seir, and the Moabites who live in Ar, did for me until I go over to the Jordan into the land that the Lord our God is giving to us. And do the same thing for us as they did. But Sihon the king of Heshbon would not let us pass by, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might give him into your hand as he is this day. And the Lord said to me, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to take possession that you may occupy his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Jahaz. And the Lord our God gave him over to us. And we defeated him and his sons and all his people. And we captured all his cities at that time and devoted to destruction every city, men, women, and children. We left no survivors. Only the livestock we took as spoil for ourselves, with the plunder of the cities that we captured. From Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and from the city that is in the valley as far as Gilead, there was not a city too high for us. The Lord our God gave all into our hands, only to the land of the sons of Ammon. You did not draw near, that is, to all the banks of the river Jabbok and the cities of the hill country, wherever the Lord our God had forbidden us. And then we turned and went up the way to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle in Edrei. But the Lord said to me, don't fear him, for I have given him and all his people and his land into your hand, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites who lived in Heshbon. And so the Lord our God gave into our hand Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people. And we struck him down until he had no survivor left. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city that we did not take from him, 60 cities. The whole region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. All these were cities fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, besides very many unwalled villages. And we devoted them to destruction, as we did to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, devoting to destruction every city, men, women, and children. But all the livestock and the spoils of the cities we took as our plunder. And so we took the land at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, from the valley of the Arnon to Mount Hermon. The Sidonians called Hermon Sirion, while the Amorites called it Sinar. All the cities of the tableland and all Gilead and all Bashan as far as Saleka and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. For only Og, the king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. Behold, his bed was a bed of iron. Is it not with Reba of the Ammonites? 9 cubits was its length, and 4 cubits its breadth, according to the common cubit. It was when I read about his bed that I decided to preach on him. Because there isn't a whole lot more about him than that. Brothers and sisters, boys and girls, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, lost everything. God used 10 devastating hammer blows, plagues, on the king and on Egypt to rescue his people from slavery there, to rescue Israel. He did so by these plagues: blood, frogs, insects, boils, 3 days of darkness. Think of it, 3 days of darkness. How strange that would be. Would light ever appear again? How could this be? And finally, in one night, the death of every firstborn male of the people and cattle. We read about it in Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up! Leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. And also bless me." The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. And so the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading cloths wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver, gold, and clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. And so they plundered the Egyptians. A large, large loss. The loss of the land, the loss of so many things, so much cattle, the loss of the firstborn. the loss of the whole working slave population. How many was it? More than 600,000 men. More than 600,000 men. Pharaoh said, "Get out of here." He watched them leave. And then God hardened his heart. He thought, what's going to happen with all of our slaves gone? He saw them. He thought they were confused. They didn't know how they were going to cross the Red Sea. So he said, I will chase them. So he called together his whole army of chariots, 600 chariots belonging to Pharaoh. Furthermore, all the other chariots in Egypt, he called them all together and said, let's go after the Israelites. I don't know if he wanted to kill them or bring them back, but he was upset. And so he chased them. And it was God's will. God had hardened him so that in one last blow against Pharaoh, he might drown him and all of his host in the Red Sea. Exodus 15. They are now on the opposite side, on the other side of the Red Sea. God had opened a path for the Israelites to go through. God had shielded them with the cloud, and the Israelites went through, and Pharaoh and his host went into the sea, and God inundated them with water. And standing on the shore of the sea, Moses and Miriam sang this song. I will sing to the Lord, for he hath glorious, he is highly exalted, both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name, Yahweh, the I Am. They hadn't really known his name very well until Moses brought it to them. The living God is his name, the I Am. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. Songs of worship, songs of praise. Well, this marked the end of Egypt's role in providing a place for the Israelites to become numerous. As many as the stars of the sky, the dust on the earth, and the sand on the seashore. Babies born in Egypt. And Pharaoh thought, yes, more babies, more slaves. And God said, I'm building a people for myself. And you, Egypt, are here caring for them until I send them on their way. When safely across the Red Sea, they could sing, but they had lots of lessons to learn. They had to learn to trust God. They had seen mighty things, but they had to learn to trust. They needed water. They needed manna. They needed quail. They needed God's law. They needed God's direction. They needed to know when to move, where to go. They needed to take the land that God was giving them, not only to have land to raise their crops and feed their cattle and on which to build their homes. They needed to have land in which they could worship God and be near to God. Yes. So they were across the Red Sea. They had been taught many things, and now it was time to conquer. So they sent spies. Spies, how long were they in the land? 40 days. They came back. They came back with two messages. The grapes are good. These are great grapes. And they said one more thing. The giants are big. And only two people said, let's conquer. Look what God did. And the rest were cowardly. And for that, God said, okay, you need more lessons. In the wilderness, for 40 years, 1 year for each day in the promised land, spying the land. So they went into that wasteland of the desert for 40 long years. Think of that, that long time. Until all of their fearful fighting men were buried in the soil of the wilderness. Then God said, go. After 40 years, it was as though God was looking at his watch. 40 years, it is time to go. Cross the valley, cross the river. And once you're across, there's no turning back. Your lessons are finished. You're graduating from the hill country. Today, move ahead and cross the river valley, no turning back. I will guide you. And God did. Now, this is fascinating. God said, do not take Lot's land. Do not take Esau's land. These are of the Abraham family. Don't take their land. I gave the land to them. Those lands were populated with giants. Anakim, Rephaim, giants in the land. Don't take their land. Don't even take enough land to put your shoe on. No, it's theirs. But then the land of Sihon and Og, that's the land I will give you. These unbelievers, these people who have no knowledge of me. There's a great swath of land from where in the Sinai Peninsula that goes up to the river, the Jordan River, and up to the Sea of Galilee. A great swath of land. What I want you to do, God says, is I want you to go through the land of these of Esau and Lot. Come to the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites. That's the land you are to take. So Moses sent a delegation, and he said, guess what? He said, we passed quietly through the lands of Esau and Lot, and we would like to pass through your land as well. Sihon. And Sihon said, no. No. God hardened his heart. And he sent out the army, all of his army. High walls. God sent out his army and Israel defeated him. Oh, when you read this, you stand there in awe. Men, women, children. Everyone killed. This was God's land. God's people were going to be there. And God's people were going to be there for a reason, to meet with God, the holy God, in the holy land. Sihon defeated. Then on to Og. Og was one of the giant race of the Rephaim. Now, in the Bible, the Anakites and the Rephaim are enormous people. Yeah. And when that delegate saw Og, he must have shuddered. But he asked, "May we come through your land?" And Og said, "No. No." And so the Israelites fought against Og and put him to death. Him, his 60 cities and other small places, and his two royal cities, high walls, iron bars, gates, all of it. Israel, that had just come out of slavery in Egypt, defeated them. God defeated them. God swept them away. Why? God's land. God's place for meeting his people. That's why. You see, and God had just instilled in the people fear of the Israelites. God was on a mission. I thought of God being on a mission the other day because I went to Costco. And when I went to Costco, I had two things to get. I had to get some cookies, and I had to get a prescription. So I walked rapidly, not dawdling around like the other shoppers. I walked and got my stuff, and when I was going, one lady said to me, "A man on a mission." I was. And then I thought, but God, this is God on a mission. God knows where he's going. God is going to accomplish this. He is going to move forward until the land is his. Now, let me just say a few things here about Israel's approach to these two kings. This was not a small thing. The Bible says, "May I pass through?" I, who is I? It's the people of Israel. How many are there? They counted them. There was a census. 603,000 men. 22,000 Levites. Women. Children, others, sheep, goats, cattle, millions coming up the road. But not only all those people coming up the road. God was coming up the road. God was at the head. What came first? The Ark of the Covenant. This is the covenant God of Israel coming at the head. Levites carry the ark. After them, three tribes. You tribes carry all the tent of the tabernacle. Three tribes carry all the furnishings of the temple, of the tabernacle. And finally, the rest. So it is no wonder. If you saw that group coming towards you, just what would you say? Sure. Come right on through. No, you wouldn't say that very likely. You would probably say no. That's what they did. And what did God do? To those who tried to stop God from moving his people to his land to worship, he swept them away. I end with a few lessons here. First of all, when we think of this, we must think of the sweep of history. God has clearly revealed in his word where he is going. Eden, the perfect place of fellowship with God. Abram called to the land that God would give him. Moses, the one who would lead his people. And finally, because that was temporary, looking forward to the promised land, the eternal land, that, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, that's the movement of God, the mission of God, taking us from Eden to Eden, the place of God's dwelling. I would like to read a few verses that deal with God's destination. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am, so that you may be there with me also." Jesus. Colossians 3. "Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Hebrews 12. "You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." And finally, in Revelation, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss." Let's see. No, I was Revelation 21, not 20. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Through the temporary, through the long periods of God's people sinning, failing, on to the land of absolute glory, absolute perfection in the presence of God. Eden restored, new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, where God dwells in immediate fellowship with his holy children through his Son, who is priest and king, the promised land. I end with that and with one other concern. Look for Sihon and Og in today's world. Who is trying to stop God from carrying out his mission? I think of people who are proclaiming today's values. And we hear, this will never be turned around. The values and morals of today, you better get with it, because it's moving forward and onward. The commands, the orders of the Sihons and Ogs. My dad used to say they write the words and commands of God under their shoes. And that's right. God stoppers, thinking we can do anything we set our minds to if we do it together. Friends, no, we can't. We can't. The world and its anti-God, anti-God's word statements and people will themselves be stopped and eventually swept away because God is on a mission. He is taking his church to glory, to the New Jerusalem, the place where he is, and he will dwell forever with his people. We and all God's people who have already died, people who are in Christ, are there in the presence of God. May we look forward to that day. Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day and for this account of what you did in might and glory. The Israelites should have been able to move boldly because of what you had done. But Lord, so often there's fear and worry and distrust. Help us to have courage and to look ahead because your word and promises are true. And the end is in view. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we conclude our service today, we have the wonderful blessing of sitting at the Lord's table